Welcome to Street Talk, a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media, aired on our Cumulus stations in Syracuse. Street Talk is a weekly show keeping you in touch with the individuals and organizations that work for and serve our community. We're your hosts, Ted and Amy. Believe in Syracuse is a nonprofit volunteer organization that creates partnerships and promotes pride throughout Syracuse and Central New York. Ahmed Turner is the executive director of Say Yes Syracuse and sergeant of arms for Believe in Syracuse. He talks about a brand new mentoring program that Believe in Syracuse has launched.
We're a nonprofit entity that started because some time ago, Amy, there was this notion that Syracuse wasn't a desirable place for young folks, and that there were limited opportunities. And we wanted to dispel that perception. We knew that Syracuse was a great place, ripe with opportunities, where professionals of all types could not only get into, you know, the workforce pipeline, but there were also opportunities for them to have an impact on the community. So Believe in Syracuse started in 2013, and we just wanted to be a cheerleader for Syracuse, but we also wanted to inform people about volunteer opportunities, and we wanted to laud all of the great, civic opportunities, employment opportunities, and all types of things out there that make Syracuse a great place. So that's how we started. Our mission is to promote pride, progress, and partnership, and that really drives us to seek out opportunities where we can make Syracuse a better place as well. Like, we know Syracuse is a great place to live, and we know that we can improve upon it. So that's how I describe it.
No, that's great. Have you been happy with the results since this organization was formed?
Yes, we have. We have. So we have, there's a number of things that we do at Believe in Syracuse that we feel really good about. We have an event that we've partnered with Cafe Sankofa over a number of years called Writing Our Lives that gives young folks an opportunity to learn how to write in a way that they're able to express themselves. Many of them do this through spoken word or poetry, but a lot of them do it through song and stories and things like that. And we're really happy about that. We have a feminine hygiene drive that we do every year to help those in need. We participated in a book drive, and we've done that for a number of years. We weren't able to do it this past year due to COVID, but that's also a way that we, you know, something that we're very proud of. And then, you know, aside from that, we've had many, many events where we were able to celebrate certain members of the community or organizations in the community. So we really feel like, we are having an impact on the community. And with everything else going on, I mean, there's all these great things and great organizations doing stuff to improve the community. We're happy to just be part of that process.
Well, tell me about the new program that has been formed, the Greater Syracuse Career Mentoring Program.
You know, there are a lot of mentoring programs, great mentoring programs in Syracuse. And a couple of years ago, as an organization, we were thinking about how we can make a greater impact for young professionals seeking opportunities. And when we were just kind of looking out there to see, you know, what is being done for young professionals that graduate from college, we felt like this would be a great opportunity to get community members of all sorts, college-educated community members, involved in helping a student transition from college to the workforce. And also help them get connected to a network of opportunity. And we thought that this is something that we could help with.
Well, and you hear so much about mentoring, especially, you know, successful people that you hear speak, that maybe they had a mentor when they were growing up and how much it meant. I mean, just to have somebody that was focused on, you know, their success, I think it means so much.
Yeah, that's excellent, Amy. So what we both know for sure is that folks, college-educated folks or folks in the professional world that have mentors, one, succeed at higher levels. They have higher staff evaluations. They can get promoted faster. And through all sorts of studies out there, folks that have had mentors report that they are just happier with life in general, and they have a higher sense of civic responsibility or civic duty. So we know that this is going to foster an environment in which folks that have been mentored will maybe it'll come back full circle, and they'll feel that kind of civic responsibility of, I want to mentor someone in college so that when they get into the workforce, they are as prepared as they can be and they can hit the ground running. And it's a really huge opportunity, we feel like, for the community.
So tell me what you need from us to get across. You're looking for mentors right now, or those that want to be mentors, or tell me what you need.
Yes, yes, yes. This is a calling to all community members. If you are a college-educated professional, we want to build a large reservoir of mentors so that we can match mentors and mentees the best that we can. But we really want to have a large reservoir of folks that are willing to volunteer their time to mentor college students as they enter the workforce. So this is a huge calling card.
Well, let's talk about what the mentors are committing to. So before people, how many hours and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Excellent question. Thank you for that question. So what our goals are for fostering these relationships is that mentors and mentees connect with each other at least once a month. And we also have a platform powered by Cooper in which they can do that. So something that we learned, something that we thought about prior to COVID-19, but that we learned more through this is that virtual connectivity is a huge asset. So the platform that we have, Amy, allows mentors and mentees to connect through a variety of ways. They can video chat each other. They can text each other. They can do all that stuff through the platform. And the really good thing or unique thing about the platform is that it allows Believe in Syracuse to track those interactions. And then we can look at, who is communicating with each other on a regular basis. We can send reminders to those that maybe lose track of communication a little bit. I think the main thing is that the commitment from volunteers is not, we're not asking folks to do 20 hours a week or anything like that. We minimally just want them to interface with the mentee, set goals with the mentee, and help them to achieve those goals.
Well, that sounds great. Now, is this an ongoing kind of recruitment? I'm seeing that you want to double participation by next year, and by 2025 hope to project a 50% increase. So, it's not really like this is the deadline. It's just more, if you think you would have time, anytime you can email and express an interest.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is an ongoing thing. This is our pilot year. But we know it's going to be successful, and we do have our goals. We want to double participation. We want to retain 50%. And what we mean by that, Amy, is that we know that there's opportunities here in Syracuse, and we through this mentoring program we want them to stay here and explore those opportunities and give back to the community. But something else that I think, ultimately our vision is that we have an interconnected community in which folks are all helping each other to achieve. And so on the grand scale of things, let's say 5-10 years from now, this is a rich environment in which college-educated folks, students going to college, there's all these synergies happening, and there's all this opportunity, and it's like a circle of life. It's like the Lion King, the circle of life.
Right. Well, that's amazing, and I'm seeing the email is mentoring@believeinsyracuse.org if you are interested, an interested professional.
Folks that are interested, there is no and not looking for anything specific. So anyone that's out there that's interested and has some college education, please contact us. Folks that want to get involved and believe in Syracuse in other ways as well, they can contact us. There's a lot of stuff that we have going on, but we really, really would welcome anyone that's willing to volunteer with young folks that are graduating from high school and entering college.
For more information, email mentoring@believeinsyracuse.org. New York Sea Grant has partnered with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to offer grants of up to $25,000 for projects that engage youth under the age of 21 with local watershed challenges. Dave White is the New York Sea Grant Coastal Recreation and Tourism Specialist.
We are excited in partnership with New York State DEC. New York Sea Grant manages a program called the New York Great Lakes Basin Small Grant Program, and we are right now having our request for projects out seeking proposals for folks to really look at what some of the watershed issues are in the Great Lakes, and the project has to engage youth under the age of 21 in the project. And in this case, it is what I call conception to conclusion. Do we really want the youth involved in the planning, the implementation, the practicality of it, the evaluation, whatever it might be? They need to be included from point A to point Z. And, you know, many times when we'll do a project, we'll, you know, involve the youth in participating and helping do planting or helping them clear a trail, whatever it might be. They have to be involved in the entire process as part of this program. And that just really excites me because it's an opportunity for our youth to participate and really understand what it takes to do some of the kind of activities we do in you know, along our water bodies or in our water bodies.
Now, explain to me, and this is probably a silly question, but watershed challenges, what does that exactly mean?
You know, if folks look at the Great Lakes Action Agenda and the Sub-Basin Work Group list, it's like, you know, what are challenging our watersheds? You know, what are some of the water quality issues? What are some of the invasive species issues? What are some of the resiliency climate change issues? What are some of the access recreation tourism issues? So when we think, you know, and again, it's watershed-wide. So it's not just the Lakeland interface along Erie, Ontario, Niagara, or St. Lawrence rivers. You know, it's the entire watershed, which includes Onondaga Lake, Oneida Lake, the Finger Lakes. You know, and any project I've mentioned because I used to do some work with it is what we used to call the, you know, Big Lake, Little Lake interaction is, you know, Onondaga Lake or Oneida Lake are the Little Lake, in this case, to the Big Lake, Ontario. But they're connected. You know, so things that happen in Onondaga or on Oneida Lake or Cross Lake, Finger Lakes, they then impact the Great Lakes, Lake Ontario. So, you know, a Big Lake, Little Lake project, you know, and really looking at what are some of the either impairments or what are some of the opportunities, because there's just a wealth of opportunities. So, I could see a group saying, you know, this would be a really great location for a water trail. Here's the access point, but we want to identify some things that are along it. You know, here's a great place that needs some habitat restoration. But again, the exciting part of this is for either formal or informal youth groups to come together to really plan, implement, and evaluate the whole process. I'm I get excited about a lot of things. This one really excites me because of that aspect of it.
And let's talk about who is eligible. I mean, besides youth, but, you know, you talk about formal and informal groups. Like, who should be looking at that?
It's really wide open. I've been having conversations with a lot of folks. I mean, obviously, school-based programs, be it an environmental science club or a school that wants to do something through their science program, you know, an ag program in their FFA organization, a 4-H club. I've even talked to some U.S. Coast Guard auxiliaries and power squadrons about the opportunity for boating issues and providing opportunities for youth to get engaged in, you know, boating activities, developing boating opportunities. So it's really wide open. The real goal is to engage the youth, and we define that as under the age of 21, you know, in the entire project. So, you know, we're looking at a wide range of folks that might apply. Obviously, you know, non-for-profits that are out there, you know, an Oneida Lake Association in our case, or local soil and water conservation district, cooperative extension. They're all welcome to apply. It's just really this very unique focus. And I've been doing this a long time, and I haven't seen many RFPs that are out there that really focus on the engagement of youth from, you know, cradle to grave, conception to conclusion, whatever terms you want to use, because that to me is when the review team looks at it, that's going to be the critical piece they're going to look at, is are they involved in all those aspects? Because that's where they're going to learn team building. They're going to learn networking. And, you know, I could see some projects coming in where they then have to go to the town board and make a presentation maybe. So just all of those other things that come with it. So it's watershed. It's learning about our water resources. It's learning about the impairments and opportunities. But it's also learning all those other life skills that are so critical as they become the next, you know, the future leaders of the Great Lakes.
Well, let's talk about when these applications are due and when the projects, should you be accepted, have to be conducted.
Absolutely. The proposals are due April 30th, and all of the information that they need is online at NYC Grant. That's NYSEAGRANT.org. If they have questions, they can call me, you know, through the process, but all of the information, all of the forms are online. We'll then have a review team look at them, and the successful projects will begin as early as July 1 of this year. And we've set it up that it's an 18-month program, so they don't have to complete it until December 31st of 2022. And I really wanted to make sure they had time to do that because we're asking them to engage the students, but this gives them two full summers, so if they have to do some preliminary work this summer, and then, you know, fully build it out, whatever they might do next summer. It involves an entire school year if it's a school-based activity. So we really wanted to give them time to do that, to get the students involved, and to really help make it a success. So, you know, this time next year we'll be talking about hopefully some really great projects that are underway that they'll be out doing, and, you know, across the entire, you know, basin area. Like I said, you know, Erie, Ontario, the two big rivers, and, you know, the entire watershed of the Finger Lakes area.
Oh, that's pretty cool. What kind of funding are we talking about, Dave?
We have $25,000 available for each project, and we're going to be able to fund up to 8 projects, which, you know, for a lot of these kind of things, you know, that's a good amount of money. You know, I mean, you know, it costs money to do stuff, and we, you know, we all know that. But, you know, to engage the students, so we're looking to fund 8 projects at about up to $25,000 a piece, you know, and get them underway by July 1st. And, you know, I'm just really excited, you know, having been a teacher way back when in my career, you know, I'm just, you know, and an FFA advisor, I mean, I'm thinking of this going, wow, you know, if I was back in that business, what a great opportunity to, you know, engage my students in some real hands-on, practical opportunity right here in their backyard to learn about what some of these issues are, to engage in them, and provide solutions. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, I said, I could see some really cool new technologies being talked about, you know, with them. You know, maybe doing some stuff with, you know, making ROVs and putting them out there in the water like we did, you know, you'll remember a few years back at the state fair where we had kids building remote-operated vehicles and demonstrating them at the fair. You know, it's really endless. And with all these new technologies that are out there, it'd be cool to see some of them say, how do we utilize some of these new technologies for, you know, solving Great Lakes problems or enhancing Great Lakes opportunities? Because you'll always hear me use those words together. Do we have problems? Sure. But do we have great opportunities? Absolutely. So, you know, look at both sides of the coin. You know, is it going to solve a problem that creates an opportunity? So you can hear it in my voice, I know.
No, I mean, I can think about stuff too, and I think you're right. In a year or, you know, later on, once the projects are chosen, it's going to be so fun to talk about them. So I'm right there with you.
You know, we'll get some of them on the air with you as well, and you can talk to some of the students as well, and that's what excites me, to think about a student being on with you talking about a project that they were a team leader on, you know, that they really worked with their entire group to put together. You know, man, I can see myself sitting there listening on the radio going, yeah, Amy, way to go, that's a great one. You're not talking to me anymore, you're talking to the real world people.
Well, you know, I go to, like, middle school science fairs, or I have, we haven't this year, but I look at their ideas, and it's like, you know, so I imagine opening this up to high school and college kids and groups, and, I mean, I think they probably will have some amazing ideas.
Right. I mean, and that's what I'm excited to see. I'm really excited to see what they come forward with, because for us, this is the first time we've done this kind of thing where I've been able to, you know, convince.
Again, the deadline for proposals is April 30th. See more at nycgrant.org. Del Lago Resort and Casino was coming off an amazing year in 2019 with their Vine Event Center, and then the pandemic hit. Jason Klug is their director of entertainment, and he talks about how Del Lago is just really excited about the future of the Vine and events coming back.
I'm one of the very few people that I know that was still working. Most of that was just taking contracts and moving them, working the box office, trying to answer people's questions, which actually was a ton. And then figuring out what I was going to do once the casino was allowed to be back open, trying to find a way to do entertainment without causing people to gather.
You were coming out of such recognition, the Del Lago Resort and Casinos. The Vine voted the 2019 Showroom of the Year. You were recognized as one of the top casino entertainment executives of the year. So, I mean, you were really ready for 2020 to really hit your stride at Del Lago.
Yeah, we really were. That's one of the tough parts, I guess, of what everyone's been dealing with. I think a lot of people were ready for 2020 to be another breakout, record-breaking year. Obviously, it's not.
Well, we're moving on and we're looking ahead, and it's interesting, and you've probably seen these statistics too, but seeing live entertainment has been consistently at the top of the list for things that people want to do right away when they finally, you know, it's open and they're vaccinated. And so what's going on for 2021, you crazy guy?
You know, I'm so excited that it's really top of mind. You hear everyone saying it. You see it on social media. People are saying that they want to attend shows. And there's a number of shows that are really coming to the forefront here. You know, Electric Daisy Carnival is the real big one down in Vegas that the whole industry is looking at. They just put together a robust safety plan. They're supposed to start at the end of May. It's sold out. You can't get any more tickets. Looking to see how that's handled. In New York, the Governor's Ball, which takes place out on Randall's Island. Normally it's at the end of May, will now take place September 24th through the 26th. There's no details yet as to what the lineup will be, but I'm sure it'll be a good one. You know, honestly, there's a few others, like Life is Beautiful, again in Vegas. As far as I've seen, that's Billie Eilish, who I've been waiting to see. That's the only thing that she's booked here in the States. So Vegas, Life is Beautiful, which I believe is September 17th and 19th, and the rest of her tour brings her across the world.
So you're kind of just waiting to hear what the guidelines are. Are you scheduling bands in the summer or still too soon?
So the summer is a little too soon. I believe we'll probably be moving some shows again, but we're really hoping that the fall stays strong and that with vaccination rates going up, that we'll be able to hold the shows that we're supposed to have in 2020 now here in the fall of 2021. With that said, we're looking ahead to 2022 and thinking, what can we do to really bring back entertainment? And I think you're going to see a lot of that across the country. It's not going to just be like a garden hose. It's going to be like a fire hose of entertainment, and people will have lots of choices about where they want to go. And hopefully that pent-up demand will really serve us well, because there are a lot of people in this industry who want to get back to work.
Well, talk about the Vine. I mean, receiving that recognition, what makes it so special?
Well, for me, what makes the Vine so special is actually the people that work there. It's the team that's in place, making sure that the experience, and that's a big thing. If we can boil it all down to one word, it's the experience. When you come in, it's not just the band, it's how easy is it to go through getting your ticket checked? Can you get a drink quickly? Can you get to your seat? Are they comfortable? You know, is the overall feel of it good? And that carries backstage too. We want to make sure that the artist is comfortable, that when they come here, they think of it as the place to play in Central New York. And that's important, because if the artist is comfortable and they're having a really good time, that's going to come through and show on stage, and the fans are going to, they're really going to pick up on that. So for me, I guess that's always the way that I've done it, the way I was taught. And I just want to make sure that the day is good, and that's really overall what leads to making this such a special place.
Visit DelLagoResort.com for the latest in entertainment. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Street Talk. If you have an issue to discuss or an event or nonprofit organization to promote, or to find out more information about something you've heard on this or past week's programs, email amy.robbins@cumulus.com. For events, allow 2 weeks in advance. Street Talk has been a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media. We're Ted and Amy. Thank you for tuning in each week to Street Talk.